Wonderful. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews in chapter number 5. Hebrews in chapter number 5 tonight. And we'll be in Hebrews 5 and we'll be a little bit in Hebrews chapter number 4. And taking our text from the last handful of verses in Hebrews and chapter number 5. And let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. We'll begin in verse number 11 and read through the end of the chapter. Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 11 through number 14. We'll read these in unison together, just these four verses. And join with me, if you would, beginning in verse 11 together. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Amen. Now, I think we ought to be careful about what we eat. I think we ought to be try to eat healthy and so forth like that. I probably should eat lima beans, though I'm not going to. I do like green beans. Amen. I like snap peas. I like some green things. I like broccoli. I like it a certain way. Amen. I like broccoli with an inch of cheese and 2 inches of Ritz crackers on top. Amen. But I like a steak. I like a steak. Amen. How do you like a steak? All right. I like a steak. And I like the meat. Amen. We need all of it. I like milk, too. I like milk. The milk goes with peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, right? It's hard. You can't have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich without milk. Milk goes good with a muffin. Hallelujah. Amen. And I like my milk cold. Amen. How many like cold milk? If it don't make you hurt, you know what I mean? If your esophagus doesn't freeze up, then it's not. Anyway, but my wife figured that out a long time ago. She'll pour me a glass of milk. We're going to have pancakes, for example, or something like that. And she'll pour a glass of milk, she'll put it in the freezer, and have a little crunch on the top of the milk. Can I get a witness right now? We are getting in the Word tonight. I like milk, but I like steak. Amen? I like steak. And that's the meat. Amen? You know I want to be mature in the Lord. How about you? I want to be mature in the Lord. You know what happened today? God blessed us. Amen. Many, many little babies born into the family of God. Now, guess what? Now we have to tend to them. Amen. Yeah, we got to love them. Got to follow up on them. Got to teach them. Amen. People don't grow up overnight. I didn't grow up overnight. You didn't grow up overnight. We're still growing, we hope, right? Amen. And this passage describes what happens. Person comes to a place in their Christian life, they start going backwards instead of going forward. And I want to be one that continues to grow. Amen. I want to be someone who likes strong meat. Amen. Let's preach on it tonight. I like meat. How about that? I like meat. We close in prayer and go to steakhouse. Amen. Father, bless the message to the hearts of your people, please, through the power of your Holy Spirit. For a few minutes, let me instruct, encourage, and guide your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The Bible said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. One reason we need an every word Bible is because you can't live if you don't have it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Lord Jesus quoted that. In Matthew 4, that was his first answer to the tempter in the wilderness, if you remember. And he's quoting from Deuteronomy in chapter number 8 when he does so. And God said that he allowed the people in the wilderness to go hungry so that they could realize that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know, one good thing about prayer and fasting is fasting will remind you. And I often, when I'm fasting, I say, Lord, help me to use this hunger to remind me the hunger for you, for your word, for your truth. Amen. And God let them go hungry so that they could realize that life isn't just about what you put in your mouth. And may I say, my dear friend, I want to be mature in the Lord. I want to go the long haul. You know, we're at a place, it happened to us yesterday while we were out, and it's literally happened just about on a weekly basis now. And that is, we meet somebody somewhere. I got a letter this week. Young man came to church, saved here, and was in our youth group. And anyway, wound up in prison, and he's getting out and looking forward to getting back here. And he wrote to me. But just about every week of the world, if not myself, somebody on our staff or members, you're running into somebody that was affected in some way as a youth or a young person, teenager, through the bus ministry. Or yesterday we sat on the porch of a young adult man who was touched as a boy through our bus ministry. And now he's married and a fine lady that's his wife. Both of them graduated from college and have good jobs. And I'm trying to encourage him to get back faithful to church. But anyway, I'm so thankful for that. But you know, I don't want to be in church a while and get out. I don't want to be in church a while and get out. Amen. And can I tell you something? If you'll stay in, it'd be a whole lot easier to stay in if you stay in. That was deep, wasn't it? It's a lot easier to stay in if you stay in, because once you get out, it's hard to get back in. Is that right? It is. So just stay in. Oh, it's going to be so hard. I got to work like God. Stay in. That's easier than getting out and trying to get back in. Amen. But I want to grow. I want to keep growing by the grace of God. I love the Bible more than I ever have in my life. I love truth more than I ever have in my life. Amen. I love you communicate with me and tell me about the messages that you're listening to. Hearing these men of God, hearing Carl Hatch and hearing Lester Roloff and hearing Brother Hiles and hearing Dr. Rice one of the men told me yesterday about, man, I'm listening to preaching all the time. And what are you doing in there, honey? I got a good sermon on the line. That's a good thing to hear in a household. I want truth, amen. I want to grow. I don't want to stagnate in my Christian life. I don't want to get away from God. I want to get closer to God. Now let's look at something here. The Bible said we can't live by bread alone. But we don't just need physical nourishment. As a Christian, we have to have spiritual nourishment. Look across the page, if you will, Hebrews chapter number 4. Let's learn something about this book we call our Bible, the Word of God. In Hebrews 5 and verse number 12, we read, for the Word of God, excuse me, Hebrews 4, verse 12. Did I say that right? Hebrews 4:12. All right. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not made, that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God sees us as we are, and the word of God shows us ourselves as God sees us. That's what he's saying there in verse number 13. It's like unzipping your chest. The Bible will unzip your chest and expose what's on the inside that God already knows and sees. He sees it all. But we don't see it about ourselves. The Bible is called a mirror in the scripture. We don't see it until we get in front of the mirror. Now, somewhere along the line, my wife had me to mount a mirror on the bathroom wall. I thought, that's silly thing. She likes that. I'll never use that. And, you know, it's more addictive than a video game. She got that thing on the wall, and it's a little arm, you know, and you can move it and manipulate like that. But anyway, you know, I got a comparable nose, you know, fair. All right, pretty good size nose, you know. Not too big, but you know, it's anyway. But when I look in that thing, man, I've got a honker. and you see things you don't see any other way. I could be in front of the mirror and think, man, I look pretty good, you know, man. Pretty good. And I get over there and look in that thing, and all these places I nicked myself while I was shaving, and a little stubble over here that I missed. And anyway, and I think, good night, why do I look in that thing? I'm not looking at it, and I go right back in it again. Now, you know, that's what the Bible does, amen? The Bible will show us things about ourselves that we won't see. Isn't it funny how we judge ourselves by our best days? That's human nature, isn't it? We judge ourselves by our best day. How you doing your Bible reading? I'm doing pretty good. You read one time last week, 7 minutes. I'm doing pretty good. I read my Bible last week. But you know, the Bible talks about looking into the perfect law of liberty. And this book right here is a mirror, and it gives us a true reflection of what we are. And we need to see ourselves as God sees us. And this book will open us up and unzip our chests, and all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. We can hide things, talk ourselves out of things, we can cover things up, and hide, but we can't hide anything from God. Amen. And as we read this book right here, God shows us ourselves. Look at the power of this book right here. Verse number 12, again, the Word of God is quick. That word quick means alive. That means not dead. That means it's living. It's a living book. The Bible calls it an incorruptible seed. Peter wrote about that. Jesus said in John 6, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. This book is alive. Amen. This is a living book. It's as alive. Listen, you can't separate a man from his word, and you can't separate God's word from God, and God is eternally existent. He's alive. He's always been alive, always will be alive, and His book is a live book. Amen. Yes, it's a living book. For the Word of God is quick. It's alive and powerful. And powerful. Jeremiah 23, the prophet described the Word of God like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. You know, God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. And you know one thing old-fashioned preaching will do? It's like a sledgehammer on a hard heart. Amen. And the Word of God and the teaching and the reading and the study and the preaching of the Word of God will break the hardest of hearts. The Word of God is quick and it's powerful. The Bible said it's sharp. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's sharp. Do you know that a surgeon, when he uses a tool, he uses a scalpel, for example, and that thing is sharp. And it has to be sharp. But it is not primarily an instrument of pain, it is an instrument of healing. And a scalpel, like the Word of God, hurts while it heals. And it heals while it hurts. Amen? Now, I don't think you ought to bleed out every time you come to church. We do need a little comfort once in a while. We need an ice pack now and again. We need a hot pad for our lower back now and again when we come to church. But you know what? Listen. We all need the scalpel, don't we? We all need spiritual surgery. Revelation 1:16 and Isaiah 49 also allude to this sharp sword, the Word of God. And then he said this. He said that it pierces. In other words, it goes beyond the surface. We're becoming a surface society. We have 982 friends. And our friendships are about an inch deep. I got 482 followers. Where did they follow you? Anyway, I'm not making fun of all social media, just 90% of it. But one of the weaknesses of the digital age is we really don't have very, our relationships are suffering. Our relationships are suffering. I like those little Dove chocolates. You open them up, they got a little saying inside. One of my reds said, like a person, like someone. In person. Amen. Now the book gets past the surface. The book, the word, it pierces. The Bible said it is a piercing book. I think about Peter before the Sanhedrin council when he gave his answer, and he said in verse 29, he said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And 4 verses later, it said that those men on that council were cut to the heart. In Acts 7, Stephen preached his sermon, and those that heard him got so mad they started literally gnashing on with their teeth. They were biting him and literally killed him. But the Bible said by his message, they were cut to the heart. And so the word is alive and powerful and sharp and piercing. And then it said this, even to the dividing asunder. Do you know the word of God is divisive? The word of God divides. Let me tell you something about so much of this this day. And the Bible said it would be so, that men would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, tickle my ear. Don't step on my toes, tickle my ear. Say something pleasant to me. And that much of God's truth in His Word is pleasant. Much of God's truth in His Word is comforting and is sweet. Of course, this book has a plethora of what we need, but we also need our toes stepped on. We also need that sword. And the Bible said that Christ came with a sword to even divide families. That's not mean God's trying to pit people against each other. But what He's saying is truth makes a clear line. And we're in a society that says, well, maybe your line's over there, maybe your line's over there. Maybe that's your truth, maybe that's His truth, and I have my truth. And all things are relative. And the Bible says that the Word of God, like a sword, it pierces and cuts a clear line. It divides. It draws clear lines. It divides between the soul and spirit, the spiritual part of a man, and joints and marrow, the fleshly part of the man. And it exposes us. The Bible said that it divides asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Do you ever read your Bible and you think, good night, I think that was written this morning just for me? Amen. Isn't that something? It's an eternal book, and God speaks to us. Now go with me back to our text in Hebrews in chapter number 5. I want to show you, this passage here talks about spiritual immaturity. And spiritual immaturity is a deficiency in the Word of God. You will never become a mature Christian unless you grow your relationship to this book right here. This is how we live. This is how we eat. This is how we feed. You'll notice at the end of verse number 11, the Bible said, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. You know, a lot of believers are just become dull to the Word. They're not tuned in. They're not dialed in. And they become dull. For the Bible says in verse 12, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers. I want you to notice that little phrase there. For the time ye ought to be teachers. Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles, the spoken word of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong drink. So spiritual immaturity here is described as the inability to share truth with others. For when for the time you ought to be teachers. Now listen, how many of you say tonight, say amen. There's a time in your life where you ought to not just be fed. People come and say, Pastor, I got so much out of that. Thank you. And I love that. And you keep it up. That encourages my heart. I appreciate that. But can I tell you something? There needs to come a time in your Christian life where you don't just gather with God's people to get fed. You gather with God's people to give out to someone else and help someone else grow. And the mark of spiritual immaturity here in verse number 12 is a person that is unable to share truth with others. Maybe it's a lack of courage. Maybe it's a lack of desire. Maybe it's a lack of concern. I don't want to. I don't care. But for whatever reason, here's a person. They have no interest in sharing the Word of God. They have no interest in letting somebody know what God's taught them, what God's shown them, what God's done in their life. And the Bible says, okay, that's an immature believer. Now, listen, some of us have been saved for years, but our spiritual age is not commensurate with the age of our spiritual, with a year of our spiritual birthday. May I say, if you've been saved for 5 years, then you ought to be 5 years old spiritually. If you've been saved for 10 years, you ought to be 10 years old spiritually. And what a shame it is to be saved for 5, 10, 15, 25, 30, 35 years and have some saints of God that have been saved half that long that are more mature than we are. Inability to share the word of God. Keep reading there, verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You know what marks spiritual immaturity? An inability to share. Well, first of all, a dullness to the word of God. A disinterest. It blows my mind to people that mess around in church. It just blows my mind. People say, I'm born again Christian. And you act like you're bored out of tears when you come to church. Is this mic working? Is anybody listening to me? Some of you cuddle up like you're on a date, like you're going to take a nap at church. Sit up straight for crying out loud. You want me to get your kids pay attention, and mom and dad, you pay attention. Quit you going back and forth. Amen. Some of you eat a pack and a half of gum by the time I get the invitation. Now listen, I'm just trying to shake you up a little bit. You want to grow in the Lord, you're going to have to dial in. You're going to have to take an interest in this book right here. Amen. Let me tell you something. This Bible's not boring, you're boring. People come and say, well, I just don't get anything out of church. Isn't that amazing? People come in here and say, Pastor, oh my goodness, God spoke to my heart. Oh my goodness, Pastor. And you'll see people walk down the aisle and go out, and you'll go out and you'll gripe and complain. Let me tell you something. Did it ever dawn on you that maybe nothing wrong with the seed? It might be something wrong with the soil. Might be something wrong with the soil. Let me tell you something. The seed will produce with the condition of the soil. Some are just dull. I don't want to hear. Some can't share it. They don't want to share it. They don't care about sharing. Or they just they lack courage, but they can't share it. They need to be taught. They ought to be teaching. The Bible said they ought to be teaching. They've been saved long enough. They ought to be telling someone else, but they still have to be taught. And then he said this, that they can't handle the meat of the word. Do you know what milk is? Milk is pre-digested food. That's what milk is. Milk is pre-digested food. I probably shouldn't tell this on air, but we have something at camp called Crazy Time. Now, I don't know that we've ever done it. Let's blame it on the other church. You want to? Let's do it. Let's blame it on the other church. And we used to go to this terrible camp, this awful camp we went to. Anyway, but they'd have a crazy time. And I remember one time at a crazy time, they brought up, you know, 200-300 teenagers, however many was there. And they brought up a 4 or 5 McDonald's bag, and it had a cheeseburger in there and a French fries and a Coca-Cola and a milkshake, I think it was, maybe. Or Coca-Cola, I mean. Anyway, hamburger fries, Coca-Cola, I believe. And they said, we're going to have a race to see who can eat hamburger and fries and Coca-Cola. Who want? And all these kids, and so, you know, all right, you. And so the 5 of them come up. I'm red team, green team, whatever. Woo! And then these kids are ready to go. And they go, whoever eats the fastest, you know, they get so many points for the team. And then, but they all get up there. Then they bring out the blenders. In goes the hamburger. In goes the French fries. In goes the Coca-Cola. You better have a garbage can handy when these teenagers. Some of you moms said, my kid ain't never going back to camp again. Like I said, that was the other church. We would never do that to your child. But you know, can I tell you something? Milk is pre-digested food. That's what it is. I like milk. I like a little chocolate in it. Amen. I like chocolate. How many like chocolate milk? I like chocolate milk. Amen. But I like steak. Can I tell you something? You know what meat requires? Teeth. It requires teeth. You can't eat meat if you don't have some teeth. You know what? We got some Christians. They've been crying for a decade. They got a little bit of a fever, and their gums are red. They're 10 years old as a Christian, still trying to cut a first tooth. Hey, get some teeth. Get some teeth. Amen. Let me tell you something. If a preacher makes you mad, you ought to walk up to them afterwards and give them a $5 bill. Say thank you. I remember in college, boy, we got preached to, and we I don't know where it started. We said we'd look at each other and go, means that guy, I just got my lips ripped off. I have no idea what that means. It just means it was hard preaching. We loved it, and we needed it. Amen. And I needed it. Amen. Preachers need preaching. Do you listen to preaching lately? You did. Do you listen to preaching lately? I mean, other than me. Okay, other than me? Okay, good. Is that true, your wives? Is that true? Okay, they confirm it. All right, we're good. But we're immature because we're dull to the word. We're bored. We're not able to share truth. We can't handle the meat. Look what else what he said in verse number 13. For everyone that useth milk, look at this, is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He's unskillful in the word. Look at this. This is a sword. You with me? Look at me. This is a sword. I'm God. It's the word. Amen? Now let me tell you something. The Bible said a lot of Christians, they're immature in the Lord because they're not skillful with the sword. Right? You know why? You know how you get skillful with the sword? You got to use the sword. You use a sword. You don't watch a YouTube video on a sword. You pick it up and use it. And the more you use it, the better you'll be with it. Amen? And so they're unskillful in using the word. They're unskillful in using the word. The Bible says they're like a babe. You know what a babe lacks? A babe lacks discernment. Did you ever notice a baby will put anything in its mouth? No, don't put that in your mouth. Too late. Did you notice that? A baby doesn't have discernment. Don't put your finger in there. No, don't do that. Hot, don't touch. You know, a lot of baby Christians, here's what's happened. Here's what happens. You know, the Jehovah Witness love new converts. The cults love the new converts. They love to get a hold of somebody that's sincere and has a relationship with God and wants to love God and wants to know God more, and they love to get a hold of them. But you know, a baby Christian, you stay a baby Christian, you're going to lack discernment. You're going to read after people and listen to people and watch people. You don't have any business reading after and listening to and watching. A person that is immature in the Lord is unskillful in the Word. He lacks discernment. He's a baby Christian. He's a baby Christian. And the Bible said here, the milk, 1 Corinthians 3 talks about this. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Listen, if you're brand new in the Lord, you need the milk of the word. All of us still need some milk. But can I tell you something? You don't need to stay a baby. It's not wrong to be a baby Christian, but it's wrong to stay a baby. Now that means this, your relationship to this book right here will determine whether you grow to spiritual maturity or not. Verse 13 again, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of a full age, even to those, and here it is again, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, a person that's blind leans more on the sense of hearing than a person who can see. And when a person is blind, blind people hear stuff that you and I don't hear. You know why? Because they exercise that sense of hearing more than you and I do. We rely a lot on what we see. But a person who's blind, they hear things. Can I tell you something? A person that's deaf can see things you and I can't see. A person that's deaf. Now, I can sit up here and talk to you all day long, and if you couldn't hear my voice, you wouldn't have a clue what I'm saying. But a deaf person could sit there and look at me while I speak, not able to hear a word, and some of them can understand as much of what I'm saying as though they had good hearing. They called it lip reading, don't they? Why? They have learned to exercise senses that they, why? They have to use their eyes, but they don't have the hearing. So why? Because in using it more, they get better and better at it. Listen, the only way to grow in the Lord, the only way to mature in the Lord, the only way to break through those red gums of yours that keep you whining and crying all the time and get some teeth is to use this and keep using it and keep using it until you become skillful in the Word and I love it. Folks come to a Bible believing church. Amen. And I said, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Concordance. Amen. Off they go. Or I'll say, turn to the book of Matthew. You know what? Let me tell you something. Isn't it a wonderful thing when the pastor says, take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs 15, and you go, isn't that wonderful? Now, that don't happen overnight. I still haven't found the book of Malachi. I know it's in there somewhere after the book of Job, I believe. Anyway, that doesn't happen overnight. But you know what it ought to be? It ought to be that we love this book and we're in this book and we're reading this book and we're studying this book. And listen to me, we are teaching this book to others. Let me give you some things to do. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible tells the kings all the way back in Deuteronomy, write your own copy of the law. And he said, read therein every single day. Search the scriptures daily, for in them you think you have eternal life, the word of God tells us. Let me give you some things to do. Number one, read the Bible every day. 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 Say that out loud. Read the Bible every day. Say it again. Read the Bible every day. Now listen, if you want to mature, now if you want to stay a baby, we'll take care of you. But babies, you'll be the one. Listen, if you don't do what I'm telling you, listen, you'll be the one, you get your feelings hurt. Well, I was out for 3 weeks and nobody even called me. Who'd you call? You're going to get your feelings hurt. Somebody's going to be asked to lead in prayer, and you didn't get asked to lead in prayer. And you get your feelings hurt. Pastor's going to say something, and step on your toe a little bit, and you go, ouch. And you're not going to make it. You're not going to last. Some baby's going to bite your baby in the nursery. And he's well, that nursery, I don't know. Do they sanitize the toys? Look, I've been to your house. You have no room to criticize a nursery. The Sunday school teacher gonna get on your kid. I saw you in Walmart. You can't control two kids, much less 17. Now, you know why you're going to, listen, you're going to get out of the will of God. You know why? Because you're not a person, you're not in the Word. You're not going to grow up and get on meat until you decide to get in this book right here. People say, well, I don't like to read. God gave us a book. Don't insult Him like that. Well, my wife wrote me a love letter. And I said, you know, honey, Alice, I'm just not a reader. You think she'd be interested in writing me too many more love notes? Number two, study the Word. Study to show thyself approved, 2 Timothy 2:15 says. Study. Let me tell you what I did as a young man. I want to encourage you to do something. First of all, you got to get you a pen and you got to get something to write with. When you sit down with the Word of God and you ask God to open up your eyes and God gives you something as you read the Word, you're not going to remember it 20 minutes later. Get you something to write with. Get you a pen and a notebook of some kind, a journal of some kind. Many, many years ago, when I would go through the Scripture, I'd find a verse on a topic and I'd go back to my notebook and I'd put that verse under a topic. And page after page on the blood of Christ, on eternal salvation, on loving, on love, all the topics that God showed, you begin to collect truths under topics and headings, and it won't be long, you'll find out. Somebody said, well, how come you believe in once saved, always saved? Amen. And I can preach it till I'm blue in the face, and I can teach it till I'm blue in the face, but it's not the same thing as you reading it in your Bible for yourself and saying, well, Shazam, it really does say that. I love a new Christian comes to me and says, Pastor, I read about the ark. It really happened. I said, man, I've been beating that in your head for years. They finally got their Bible. There's just nothing like reading in that book and God's Spirit speaking to you as you read and study His Word. Amen. If you want to grow, you got to get serious. Listen, here you kids come to class unprepared. And the teacher says, all right, get your pencil out. And you say, I forgot my notebook. How in the name of Sam Brown, whoever he is, do you forget your notebook just about every day? And the truth is, you don't want you to. Listen, if you go, the kid that goes and they're prepared and they got their notebook and they got their pencil, they're on the edge of their seat. You know, the teacher is going to teach to somebody like that. If I tell you something, y'all promise not to tell anybody else. When I'm preaching, sometimes there's people I refuse to look at. Brother Danny, I'm sorry, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do it. I get discouraged. Listen, it blows my mind. It blows my mind. You go in here to a surgical center, and some brain surgeon or some heart surgeon is in there, and he's cutting somebody open, and it's life or death. And you think the staff. You think that thank God for the folks who mop the floors. But you think he's going to want the guy that mops the floors coming in? Excuse me, could y'all move your feet over here? Our nurse said, I'm sorry, I got an emergency. Plan ahead. He said, well, of course not. I mean, that's a surgery center. That's a life and death. Yes, it's life and death. And I submit to you that what happens when the Word of God, the eternal Word of God, is spoken to the eternal souls of men, the only two things that will go beyond the grave, the Word of God and the souls of men, when the eternal Word of God is spoken to the eternal souls of men, that we ought to be there and be on top and listen and dial in and make our plans ahead of time. Some of you, your children, haven't sat through a whole service their whole life. And you wonder why. First of all, some of you can't hardly sit through a service. Y'all say amen if you want to. Go ahead and cut those teeth. Go ahead and cut them. Go ahead and cut them. I'm telling the truth. Look, we all have eyeballs. This is not a secret. We all have eyeballs. Now, what y'all do is take your kids one by one and say, get in there. And you wait for them outside the bathroom door till they come out and say, go sit there and don't get up. And then mom and daddy, you sit down and don't get up. Oh, this is so good. Now, listen, if we don't get serious about this book and get serious about this truth, we will not grow to maturity. You know how many Christians, I don't know anybody's heart. I don't know who's saved and who's not saved. I know the story of the tares. I'm going to be surprised who's there and I'm going to be surprised who's not there. I know that. But I can tell you something. If you meant business and you called on the name of the Lord and God saved your soul, you'll never be happy in the world. You'll never be happy going backwards in your Christian life. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. And you will not separate yourself from this book right here and grow like you could and like you should. Number three, teach it. Read the Bible, study the Bible, teach the Bible. That's what he's saying here, verse 12. There's a time you ought to be teachers. Now listen to me. You have most of your wisdom at the end of your life. Don't check out too early. Well, I'm going to let somebody else. That sounds so noble, but it's not noble. We need your wisdom. And you need to be teaching. You need to be sharing with others. You say, what do you mean? Witness at work. Witness at work. Now, you need to stop cussing. You need to stop cussing at work. Amen? It can be a little hard to give out a gospel tract. You say, hey, come be my friend on friend day and come to my church. They say, you go to church? It's going to be a little difficult. Hey, get a testimony. Get a testimony and talk to folks. Answer their questions. Encourage others. Engage in a conversation. Encourage others in the things of the Lord. You got a Christian friend at work? Talk to them about what you read in your Bible. Say, I was reading this morning. Some of you, you and your Christian friends are a minority. Just a few of you. But don't be ashamed. I'm not talking about being obnoxious, but don't be ashamed. Amen? You know, I read my Bible. It's been a long time since I worked a secular job, so to speak, and read my Bible there. I have guys come to me and say, hey, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Me too. That's a secret. I'll let people know you love the Word. Teach. Talk to folks at work. Hey, talk to your spouse about what you read in the Bible. Amen. Talk to your spouse. When's the last time you and your wife had a discussion about what you read in the Word? Hey, Dad. You say, I don't know. Some of you dads, you feel, I feel like a hypocrite. I'm backslid. I got a temper, this or that or whatever. Your wife already knows it. Just read your Bible and talk about it. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is so clear, verse number 7. We have a responsibility, dads. We have a responsibility to teach our own children. Amen? And can I tell you something? Your kids' relationship with you is tenfold more important than their relationship with the pastor and the youth pastor and the principal and their teachers. Their relationship with you, dad, is tenfold more important. You go to the end of your Bible, the end of Malachi, revival takes place when the hearts of the children are turned to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers are turned to the children. And you mark this down as your pastor. If I know, listen, I am not going to intentionally, I may do it unintentionally, but I will never intentionally drive a wedge between you and your children. I will point your children to you, even to a point of disagreement. If I know your dad, if I know you hold to something, as a pastor, your kid comes to me and says, what do you think? I say, I believe you ought to talk to your dad about that. Now, I'm not talking about sin issues. You understand? I'm not talking about, is it okay for me to get drunk? I'm not talking about that stuff. But I'm talking about as far as you and your spiritual leadership in your home, your kids need your leadership 10 times than they need mine. Now, listen to me. Listen. You got to teach. You got to open your mouth. God's got to, you got to get something from God, and you got to share it. Amen? Pray with that family of yours. Get involved. Next, get involved in a soul-winning ministry. Get involved in a soul-winning ministry. Can I tell you something? Listen. Do you know when you go out to share Christ with someone else? Do you know this? That you say, well, I don't know enough to share Christ. You nine times out of ten, you're going to know more than the person you're talking to. You say, well, what if I'm so afraid somebody's asked me a question I don't know the answer to? What am I supposed to say? Here's what you say. Listen, this will help you. You say, somebody asks something, you don't know the answer to it, and they say, oh, what do you say? You say, I don't know. That's what you say. You say, I don't know. I'm still learning myself. Maybe your soul winning partner could answer the question, or maybe you could say, I'll ask my pastor. I'll ask my Sunday school teacher. Amen. But look, I'm saying, listen, you want to grow. The Bible said the reason that you don't have teeth and you have to have milk and you can't bite into the meat of the Word. Why? Because you are not skilled in this book right here. You got to read this book and study this book, and then you got to wield this book. It's a sword, unskillful in the word of righteousness. You got to use it. You got to share it. You got to tell it. And the more people ask you a question, here's what happens. So you start talking about this book, somebody's going to ask you a Bible question, and you're going to go home and go, and you're going to be searching the scriptures. Amen. Where's that concordo thing that he gave us? Concordance. What is that thing? Concordance. Where is that thing? And you're going to dust that book off. It's been on your shelf for a decade for the first time and learn how to look something up in the Bible and get a Bible answer. And when you do, you'll be so excited and say, I can't wait till lunch tomorrow. I got a Bible answer. And you'll start growing in the Lord, and you'll start loving the things of God, and preach, you'll step on your toes and say, ouch, that felt so good. Thank you, Pastor. And your kid will get bit in the nursery, you'll say, oh, shake it off, kid. Somebody will get on to your kid in the Sunday school class, and they'll come home and wham, wham, wham. And you say, you better quit that whine about your Sunday school teacher, because I'm about to call and find out what really happened. You will grow up in the Lord according to your relationship to this book. You know what we need? God's given us a harvest, church family. It's undeniable. But can I tell you something? There's no way to shepherd this many young believers unless some of us grow up in the Lord. Grow up in the Lord and say, I need to get busy shepherding others. Let's stand together. Father.